Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from 54th and Broadway, New York City. Benny Dole's back in Memphis producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Her daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wedding ring.
And I hope you didn't think the Grizzlies' winning streak was going to come to an end last night at 9 games, because that didn't happen. Even as underdogs, even shorthanded, the Grizzlies knocked off Steph and Clay's Golden State Warriors. It's 10 in a row. The world has now finally taken notice. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Drew Hill is going to join me. Covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He was inside FedEx Forum last night for what was an incredible victory under incredible circumstances. I will talk to Drew about it, all things Grizzlies. We're going to do that in the next segment. When I finish it, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 444, at which point I will discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Penny Hardaway's Tigers are back on the court tonight. Big game at UCF. They are slight favorites on the road. I'll get you ready for that around 444. Awesome night in college basketball last night. Undefeated Baylor and undefeated USC both took losses, so we now have exactly zero unbeaten teams left in the sport. Tell you about that a little later on this hour. Baylor's loss has opened the door for Auburn to move to number one in the AP poll for the first time in school history on Monday. That's the byproduct of Auburn winning last night at Alabama. Tell you about that just before 5 o'clock. And Oscar Tshiebwe did something last night that no Kentucky player had done since Grizz executive Tayshaun Prince did it back in Lexington in 2001. That's a long time. I'll tell you what it was during four notable stories at 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, that I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the Memphis Grizzlies, because what a night that was inside FedEx Forum. Super hype showdown with the Warriors somehow exceeded expectations. Heading in, the goal, I think, at least my goal, was obvious. Extend the winning streak to 10 while Ja Morant is awesome. Get the 10 straight wins and let Ja Morant be awesome while it happens. Now, you could argue against the Warriors, he's going to have to be awesome while it happens, but either way, I wanted the goal to be exactly that. Extend the winning streak to 10 while Ja Morant is awesome. And as the 43rd president of the United States once said, incorrectly, but still, mission accomplished. Final score, Grizz 116, Warriors 108. Ja Morant took 23 shots, made 11 of them, finished with 29 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, and the play of the night, that came in the final minute. Game still in the balance. It's 113-108. Grizz have the ball, 39 seconds left. Considering Steph Curry is on the other team, we're still short of hammer, nail, coffin time. Obviously, the ball is in Ja's hands. He brings it up, no rush, eventually gets a high ball screen from Brandon Clark, Andrew Wiggins gets switched on to Ja, and Ja just blows right by him. Gets downhill, through the lane, left-handed scoop layup, good. Wiggins gets him in the back, foul. That's called an and one with 28.9 seconds left. FedEx Forum erupts, and then, incredibly, Ja Morant walks into the crowd, stares down a little boy in a Warriors jersey. What a drive. What a moment. Big Bet Bennett, I was in studio here in New York. I watched it, but I didn't feel it. Like, I saw it, but I didn't feel it. You were in the building. Talk me through that game-securing and one and the subsequent stare-down of that young, at least in the moment, Warriors fan, because what happened last night could have converted the young fella.
Well, GP, in the words of the second greatest basketball player of all time, the great Michael Jordan, I believe the phrase is F them kids, which I don't know if he actually said that, but it's a, you know, popular meme. And I think that's what Ja was kind of conveying in that moment as well. You don't walk up into that building wearing Warriors gear and then get to just cheer for Ja Morant in the end. No. You got to trade in your stupid Warriors gear, get you a Ja jersey, then you can be welcome to the party with all the rest of us who have been here for a while.
Kids are kids.
Kids are kids. I know. And that's the thing about that is we talked about it yesterday. This is different than the Lakers a little bit because kids love Steph. And rightfully so. He's one of the best players of all time. He's the greatest three-point shooter of all time. And so you're going to see a lot of kids in Warriors gear like you did last night. And a lot of them probably aren't necessarily Memphians. I think you probably had a lot of out-of-towners come in last night for that game. In fact, I know that a lot of people from out-of-town came into that game last night. Still, a hilarious moment. So good. And I thought Ja's response in the post-game was absolutely perfect.
Yes, it was perfect in the moment. It was perfect after the fact. Just circling back to the kids to kids thing. Like, I'm never going to get mad. I don't know how old the young man was. What do you put a number on it, Bennett?
Oh, he was probably like 8 or 9.
Okay, so yeah, 8 or 9
maybe
years old.
7, 8, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have an 8-year-old right now and a 5-year-old. And I think we talked about this on the show. During the bowl season, like, my kids will watch games with me. Like, if they're on, they'll watch them with me. So we watch a lot of Mets games. We watch a lot of Grizzlies games. But my little guys have never once asked me to watch a game. They've never said, hey, Dad, are the Mets on tonight? Can we watch? Or, hey, is Ja Morant playing tonight? Can we watch? They'll watch if I put it on, and they'll get into it to whatever degree. But they never come to me and said, can you turn it on this channel at this time because we want to watch this game? But that happened over the Christmas break, and it was during bowl season, and it was because of the Ole Miss Baylor football game. And what has happened is they've become friends with little kids around the neighborhood. And even though my wife's an Ole Miss graduate, she's not like an Ole Miss fan. Mm. Like, I honestly think if Ole Miss and Memphis were playing football, she would rather Memphis wins because she has more of a connection to Memphis than Ole Miss. I don't want to speak for her, but she's never, you know, she's not walking around the house, you know, chanting hottie toddy and that kind of stuff. But my little guys now have friends whose parents are like, you know, they're Ole Miss graduates and diehard Ole Miss fans. Like, they go to the games and the whole deal. So the kids have been hanging out with them and, you know, wearing Ole Miss gear. And so we're sitting around, again, during Christmas break, and Oliver comes to him and he says, Dad, does the TV in the playroom have ESPN? Like, that's something he's never said before. And I said, yeah, of course it does. And he said, at whatever time the game kicked off, 7 o'clock, 7:30, I don't remember. He said, can you turn it on that channel for us so we can watch the Ole Miss game? They're playing Baylor. And I was like, what in the world? Because they've never done that before.
Yeah.
But, and they sat there and they, like, legit watched the whole game and, like, oh no, Matt Corral's hurt and, you know, what are the Rebels going to do now? And they were totally into it. And they were totally into it because they now care about Ole Miss football only because their little friends care about Ole Miss football and they got looped into it. And so I'm assuming that there are a lot of kids who get looped into things for a variety of reasons. And well before Ja Morant existed in Memphis, and well before the Grizzlies became this incredible story, Steph Curry was already an international superstar whom kids were in love with.
Yes.
And that just doesn't end. You know, if you are at a certain age and you fall in love with Steph Curry, you don't just fall out of love with Steph Curry because, you know, Ja Morant and Desmond Bain and Jaren Jackson Jr. showed up. Like, I'm a lifelong Mets fan because I became one when I was a child. And I've thought about this before. Like, if Memphis were to get a Major League Baseball franchise, and it won't, but if it were to get one, like, would I switch allegiances? Would I become a Memphis whatever baseball fan and drop the New York Mets completely? And what I've concluded is that I would not. I would want the Memphis franchise to do well, but I would still be a Mets fan. I put too many decades into this stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's a roundabout way to say I'm not mad at any kid for wearing a Steph Curry jersey, because that kid probably fell in love with Steph Curry before he knew it was possible to fall in love with Ja Morant. But what you hope is that the next batch of kids coming through, they're falling in love with Ja Morant, not Steph Curry. And that perhaps that kid, and I believe there were two of them there, but those kids, if there were multiple kids, that they walk out of there going, okay, we love Steph Curry, but now we don't have to love Steph Curry. We've got this thing that's similarly amazing in a different way. We've got this thing in the city of Memphis to root for. Let's latch on to that. And I think your point about Ja, how he handled it in the moment and after the fact, was perfect in this regard. In the moment, he just got caught up in the moment. You know, you see him get bumped, and like Wiggs kind of pushes him in the back, sends his momentum toward the crowd, and then he just keeps walking. And you don't see that every game, so that was fun. And then you see the kid stick his hand out, because now it's Ja Morant. Like, I'm wearing a Warriors jersey, but man, I'd like to slap five with Ja Morant. And Ja stares the kid down, like, actually did it. As if, don't put your hand out at me. You had a choice when you left the house.
That's right.
You know, and if you didn't have a Ja Morant jersey at your house, well, you walked right past the fan store when you came into this place. You could have got you one. You decided instead, like, he's thinking this through like it's an adult, forgetting in the moment that it's an 8-year-old. He's you had an option. You could have sat right there in that seat in a Ja Morant story, and I'd be hugging you in a Ja Morant jersey, and I'd be hugging you right now. Or you could sit in a Warriors jersey, and now that's disrespectful. Actually used the word disrespectful in the post-game press conference, Ja Morant did, which I love because that's one of my favorite words when I'm trying to overstate something and be goofy. Totally disrespectful. Ja said it's disrespectful to wear that jersey. We in Memphis. And then, and this was the other perfect part, he said, I apologize to him, but bro, in that moment, take the jersey off if you're going to try to dap me up. And then he said, get me his information, I'll send him a Ja Morant jersey. And so you turn this incredible moment that was like just a product of the moment into an incredible story. And so I look forward to, and I hope this happens, that young man and whoever brought him showing back up to a Grizzlies game right there in those same seats. And the next time we see him, they've got a Ja Morant jersey on. But what we're watching right now is the type of thing that flips these kids that are growing up right now. This is how you generate lifelong Grizzlies fans.
For sure.
This is how you create Ja Morant super fans. Like I told you earlier in the week, when I was very young, probably about that young man's age, I had a basketball goal that hangs on your door. Had the wooden backboard, the breakaway rim. Basically, you just have dunk contests on it all day long, trying to kill each other. A bunch of 8-year-olds just dunking on each other nonstop, like idiots. You could obviously order any team. Knicks, Sixers, Warriors, Hawks. I had a Chicago Bulls one. Why? Michael Jordan.
Yep.
And Ja Morant, I'm not comparing him to Michael Jordan, although Kendrick Perkins has. Ja Morant is turning into this city's Michael Jordan. And we are going to get to a point where you're going to see fewer and fewer opposing jerseys every time you're in FedEx Forum. And more Ja Morant jerseys than you might have could have ever imagined. More to the point, we're going to get to the point where Ja Morant is going to be the opposing player in another arena, and he's going to see kids wearing his jersey.
Absolutely, that's true. And look, you mentioned the atmosphere last night. Like, the Lakers game a couple weeks ago was awesome. Like, that just felt different. Like, the vibe was different when you get in there. LeBron, the Lakers, like, just you're excited. That was probably the best atmosphere at FedEx Forum this whole season, last night. Just, it was, you know, Klay comes out early with the warm-ups and people start cheering for Klay. And it was just, there was just a vibe around that game last night that was different than it has been this whole year in that building.
Well, the Warriors are stars.
Yeah.
You know, this version is not the same version that, you know, won the record number of games. It's not the same version that featured Kevin Durant. But, you know, you saw two future Hall of Famers on the court last night. And, you know, the next coach of USA Basketball on the sideline, I saw where afterwards somebody asked Klay if these Grizzlies remind him of, you know, these Warriors when they were younger. And Klay, you know, just sort of, he was kind about it. But he said, you know, we changed the way basketball is played. You know, we've done some pretty incredible stuff.
For sure.
And he's right. You know, they've won three championships. They really did change the way the sport is played. You know, the shoot from anywhere and shoot as often as you can from beyond the arc, that wasn't really a thing pre-Warriors. And so I think what Klay was saying in the kindest way possible was, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But what he and Steph and Steve also made clear is that they've got an incredible amount of respect for the Grizzlies and that they should no longer be talked about as a team that's going to be great someday. They're pretty great right now. They're a legitimate contender in the Western Conference. They're now 29-14, thanks to this 10-game winning streak, and tied with Utah for third in the West. Technically, they're percentage points behind the Jazz, but whatever. It's more or less a tie for third. They're 29 mm-hmm. wins right now, third most in the NBA, behind only Phoenix, got 31. Golden State, got 30. And 538 now projects these Memphis Grizzlies, these young, still supposed to be a year or two away Memphis Grizzlies, 538 now projects them to finish in this season 54-28. The franchise record, by the way, for regular season wins, 56 in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
That's now in sight. And whether you watched it on social media last night or saw it on television this morning, people are now taking notice. One so-called talking head after another, either trying to tell you, I've been telling you about these Grizzlies and John Morant for a while, or if they weren't, people who fell into that category, they're now telling you, I'm sorry I discount the John Morant and these Grizzlies up to this point, but I'm done with that. Yes, this team is good enough to play in the NBA Finals. Last night was a real turning point for this team, for John Morant, and by extension for the franchise, and now you hope you just keep it headed in the right direction. Next up, tomorrow night's game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Drew Hill was inside FedEx Forum last night for that massive win under massive circumstances. I'll talk to him about it next. You listen.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Super thug is thumping on the cut.
Wave the gun, hit the drum, till you hear it go. Penny Hardaway's Tigers are down at UCF tonight. Tip coming up at 6 o'clock on ESPN+. Memphis listed as a slight favorite, trying to extend a winning streak to four games. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. It's Drew Hill making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Drew, you've been on this beat for a while. I assume you always thought that you would cover a legitimate Western Conference NBA title contender. Do you think you're doing it right now, in this moment?
Yes. I mean, I think that the Grizzlies are a legit contender because they can beat good teams. If you're asking me to predict whether or not the Grizzlies are going to beat the Warriors or the Suns in a Western Conference playoff series to get to the finals, I would bet that they probably would not, right? They would clearly be the underdog in a matchup like that. But as of yesterday, you would have said it's pretty close to impossible that the Grizzlies could get out of the West. But after watching yesterday, which really felt like a coming out party for the team, and maybe I'm guilty of investing a little bit too much into one game, I don't know how you can't say that it's not at least possible that the Grizzlies could accomplish something like that, because they have this generational superstar talent who is just as good as the other player on the other side of the court. In every game, they have a big man who's playing terrific right now at all defensive level, and they've got a supporting cast that plays well just about every single night, and they have a winning formula. And so, yes, I think the Grizzlies are legitimate contenders. They have a great record against the best, very best teams in the NBA, and they win as an underdog. They are 13-7 as an underdog this season. So if you tell them they can't, the Grizzlies will probably prove you wrong.
Well, that's the thing. You could see them winning the West now. I could see them winning the West now. More importantly, they could see themselves winning the West now. You're right. They would be an underdog in a series against the Suns, underdog in a series against the Warriors, probably an underdog in a series against the Jazz. But they wouldn't think they can't win any of those series. And there's nothing to suggest they couldn't win any of those series. You know, the 538 now gives the Grizzlies a 15% chance to win the West and a 9% chance to win the NBA title. That's not nothing. Now, it doesn't mean that they will, but for context, the Suns only have a 30% chance to win the West, according to this algorithm, and Phoenix is right now the one seed in the West. And the Grizzlies are, you know, 15%. This is very real. You know, I always thought, over the past year and a half or so, thought, okay, 2023, 2024, that's where you really start talking seriously about the things that we're talking seriously about right now. And it still might be 2023 before they actually look like they wouldn't be underdogs against three other teams in the West, or 2024, where it looks like maybe they actually are the favorite in the West. But remarkably, there's nothing crazy about daydreaming about them doing it this season. And that speaks to, I think, the generational talent that Ja Morant is and the way that the pieces around them are really coming together so much more quickly than I think even people who worked in the front office could have imagined.
And the craziest part is they're set up even better for the future going forward.
Right.
This is a team that has potentially three first-round draft picks and $20 million worth of cap space this offseason. Like, they're ahead of schedule, and they also have a ton of wiggle room to get much, much better. And that is why you should be incredibly encouraged by what you're seeing on the court right now. And it just, like, last night felt different. It felt different in that building. It's hard to explain unless you were there, because we've seen awesome Grizzlies games all season long. But this one felt like the Grizzlies knew it, and everyone else knew it, that this was the test. If you can beat this team, people will acknowledge you as for real. They already beat them once this season, but there was no sneaking up on them this time. And people can say whatever they want about Draymond Green not playing in that game, fine. The Grizzlies didn't have Steven Adams or Dylan Brooks. The Grizzlies didn't have Jaren Jackson Jr. for a lot of the game because he couldn't stay out of foul trouble. The Grizzlies can absolutely play with the Warriors. They could absolutely win a playoff series against the Warriors. I'm not saying that they would, but I'm saying they are capable of doing that. And therefore, yes, they are legitimate Western Conference contenders.
Talking to Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. He's on Twitter at @DrewHill_DM. You said something earlier that among the reasons the Grizzlies could win a series against any of these teams is because they are often going to have the best player on the floor. Now, I don't know that Ja Morant's going to have the same career that Steph Curry's had or LeBron James has had. And, you know, I don't know that he would, you know, if we took a vote today, beat Steph in an MVP ballot. But he's undeniably an MVP candidate right now. And we've now seen it against the Lakers, against the Warriors, against the Suns. We've seen the Grizzlies win and Ja Morant be the best player on the court. When he's on the court with Steph, when he's on the court with LeBron, when he's on the court with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, we have reached the point where, with few exceptions, and it might get close to zero, the Grizzlies had the best player on the court basically every time they play. And again, that's something that's a place I thought we'd get eventually. I'm not sure it's a place I believed we'd be in January 2022.
No, and the one guy you left off the list is Kevin Durant.
He outdueled
Kevin Durant in Brooklyn. He outdueled LeBron James here in Memphis. Yes, he's as of this morning, he is top five in odds per basically every single sports book to win the MVP. And I think that you can absolutely have a conversation about Ja Morant being the MVP. And I also think at this point, I mean, as long as he stays ahead of guys like Chris Paul and Donovan Mitchell in the All-Star fan vote, which highlights like the block and wins like last night will definitely help his case there from the fans. He's going to be an NBA All-Star Game starter. All he will need now is the player vote, which you can assume Chris Paul will get a lot of the player vote because he's a legacy. He's, you know, part of the Players Association. So he'll probably do well among the players, but you would think Ja will also do well among the players. And then there's media. And I think Ja's going to run away with it there in terms of media because, you know, guys like me, I have a vote this year. I will be voting Ja Morant as an All-Star starter, I think for obvious reasons. What he's doing is incredible. And it's not just the success, the individual success, it's the success of his team as well. You know, Luka Doncic averages more rebounds and more assists than Ja Morant, right around the same amount of points. Luka Doncic is used by his team way, way more than the Memphis Grizzlies use Ja Morant, surprisingly. You know, his usage rate is even higher than Ja Morant's, and Ja's is very high. And you got to also think about the way that the Grizzlies play. The Grizzlies pass the ball, they share the ball, they use all five guys when they play offense. This isn't just one guy dribble it up the court, one guy play offense, and if it doesn't work, pass it to someone else. Like, Ja is doing this, and you don't want to say despite the fact that he has an awesome team around him, but truly, he's putting up these very impressive numbers, and he's not even really positioned to, like, put up huge numbers. He just does it anyway. So, yeah, I think he deserves to be in the MVP talk, and he also deserves to be the West second guard as a starter in the All-Star game.
Talking to Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. He is on Twitter at @DrewHill_DM. From the fan vote perspective, do we have a sense for how much Justin Timberlake can influence that, can help with that? I know Devin Booker's got Kendall Jenner working for him, so that's obviously advantageous, I think. Can Justin Timberlake swing this thing in Ja Morant's favor?
I don't know. I think Ja definitely hopes so. Kendall Jenner has I don't know how many followers Justin Timberlake has.
Maybe, well, how about this? I was a little surprised by this. On Twitter, now, like, Kendall's a monster on Instagram, and you never know when she's going to bring Kylie into the deal and Kim into the deal, and now you got a problem. But Justin Timberlake actually has, like, 60 million followers on Twitter. Kendall's only got, like, 32 million.
There you go. I would have suspected that it would be the other way around.
Me too.
But I guess I'm wrong. I think that's definitely good. And good on Justin Timberlake for correcting his tweets, because the first time he tweeted it out, he didn't get the hashtag right and the votes wouldn't have counted. Right. So good on him for fixing that. Yeah, I don't know. I hope it swings the vote. I think we all want to see Ja as an All-Star starter. I've never been to an NBA All-Star game. I made the arrangement months ago to go because we all just assumed he was going to be there. And I'm very, very excited for it. I don't know if you can feel this, but it just feels different. Like I mentioned, it felt different in the building. Like after a win like the one last night, everyone already was infatuated by the Grizzlies, but it just feels like they have now been cranked to another level. Like you see guys like Zaire Williams tweet, "I love this city and I love this team." You've got a guy like Ja Morant who's tweeting the memes about "I'm from Memphis" with some curse words involved in it. I mean, they really seem to love playing in this small market. They've embraced it. And how could you, as a Memphian, not fall in love with these guys who play extremely hard every single night? It just feels like they've really been able to capitalize and capture the city so quickly. And I actually talked to Xavier Tillman today. He was doing a community event for MLK Day of Service. And I asked him about it, And I don't know if my story is out yet or not, but I asked him about it, and I said, how do you explain that? Like, how do you explain what the Grizzlies have done to sort of capture the city and what the fans have done to capture you? And he said, we all have real ones. On our team, we've got real ones. We've got people that like to call it as it is. We've got guys with chips on their shoulder, whatever. And as a city, we just really love that we have fans that support us, and we don't feel like we have any pressure. Like if you were playing in a huge market and you had, you know, people criticizing you at every single turn, we feel like we can just go out and play. We don't have any of that involved. We can just play loose and play fun and be ourselves. And we love that. Like, that's our favorite part about, you know, this experience. And I think that's why a lot of them have fallen in love with this city. And as a fan, what more do you want to hear than that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. This thing has changed pretty considerably. It's gone from, wow, this is a team that's winning more than I thought it was going to win, and John Morant sure is awesome, to this is like a legitimate Western Conference contender, and John Morant is even more awesome than I thought he was. Like, it's been taken up a notch, both locally and obviously nationally. The Grizzlies are the biggest story. John Morant is the biggest story in the NBA right now. People are going to continue to talk about what's wrong with the Celtics and can you fix the Lakers? Because those are big brands and you know, easy things to debate. The biggest story going in the NBA right now is originating, you know, in downtown Memphis inside FedEx Forum. 10 straight wins with the Timberwolves coming in town tomorrow night. Let's talk about the moment, the final minute. It's still a game in the balance, if only because it's 5 points and Steph Curry's on the other team. And so Grizzlies got the ball. Ja brings it down. Brandon Clark sets a high ball screen. Ja gets going downhill, blows right past Andrew Wiggins. Left-handed scoop layup. Wiggs gets him in the back. It's a foul. It's an and one. Ja goes into the crowd and locks eyes with a young man who is wearing a Warriors jersey, but in the moment, wouldn't mind dapping up Ja Morant because he's excited like everybody else. Instead, Ja stares him down, declines the opportunity to touch hands, and the postgame was asked about it and sort of laughed and said, I apologize to him, but in that moment, bro, you know, take that jersey off. It's disrespectful. We're in Memphis, but if you get me his information, I'll get him a Grizzlies jersey to wear next time he comes to FedEx Forum. I thought the moment, which was sort of, you know, very much in the moment, nothing planned about it, was awesome, just a great visual. And then I thought the way Ja handled it afterwards was, if not perfect, pretty close to perfect.
Yeah, that might be my favorite moment of the season so far. It was just, in the moment, it was funny just to watch him, because he does that a lot. Like, he'll flex, and we saw him call that Lakers fan after the and one a few expletives that I can't say on the radio.
Sure.
And so he gets really fired up after some of these plays. But for it to just be a kid that gets in the crosshairs somehow, I thought he handled it hilariously. And got to give some credit to my guy, Jeff Calkins, for asking the questions. Like, he didn't let up on Ja, man. He kept them coming, and Ja played it just right. It was hilarious. It was a great exchange between that and, well, first of all, before I get into anything else, we have to find those kids, right? Like,
yes.
We got to find the kid. And I know that the Grizzlies would take care of that kid if they found him. Like, and I'm sure the Warriors would too, but if that kid actually turned in his Curry jersey or whatever for a Ja Morant jersey, that'd be incredible. And then I'm sure the Warriors would turn around and give him his Curry jersey back. The Grizzlies would probably give him his Curry jersey back anyway. But it would be great if they.
Oh, it would actually be a great promotion if the Grizzlies announced tomorrow at the store inside FedEx Forum, trade in your Steph Curry jersey for a Ja Morant jersey. Like, they could afford I'm not interested in spending other people's money, but they could afford to do that, and it would get a lot of attention. Like, it would be national attention. Grizzlies new promotion, kids who turn in their Steph Curry jersey get a free Ja Morant jersey. That would be good. It would be a fun promotion.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be a great time. I'm sure there would be kids that would do that, too. But you have to get the original kid to be able to do something like that, you know?
Right.
You have to find the right one. But anyway, my other favorite moment from last night was Darko gets asked about the what happened in the third quarter, where all where they gave up the big lead, and somebody said, "What did you do to fix the fix your team in the fourth quarter to get them back on track?" And he said, "Swag," but he said it with his accent, and it was just really funny, just with his Serbian accent to say "swag" to hear it. And he's like, "We just needed to get our swag back because we weren't playing very hard or whatever." So then Ja gets asked. I asked Ja, and Ja immediately just busts out laughing. He goes, "Yeah, he was saying that like every single timeout. He just kept repeating swag." We were just like, "Okay, Darko, we got it. We got to get our swag back." It was just a really funny exchange and just an overall extremely fun night at FedEx Forum yesterday.
No, it was terrific. And so the Grizzlies are now 29-14. If you hadn't read Drew's story from last night, it is at dailymemphian.com. You can follow him on Twitter at DrewHill_DM. Always appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate it, Gary. See ya.
Bye-bye. That's Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. When we come back, Tigers back on the court tonight trying to extend their winning streak to 4. They're down at UCF. Slight favorites in Orlando. We'll talk about that next. You listen. Gary Parrish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN. Gary Parrish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Okay, now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Goat body. All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you. Price went up.
Yeah.
Angel Invest.
You're looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, or business insurance? Get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That's a second generation local agency that's been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee, Elizabeth can help you. Mississippi, she can help you. She's a proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So if you or somebody likes to support local businesses that support the local athletic department, then Elizabeth Rook Insurance, that's the agency for you. Two locations here locally. One is in Lakeland on Canada Road. The other in Covington on Highway 51. And the reason that's important is because when you got to make a homeowner's claim or an automobile claim, and you will at some point, you don't want to call a 1-800 number. Talk to somebody in a different part of the country. Somebody you don't know. They don't know you. You can't ever met them. You can't sit down in front of them. You want to have a local insurance agent. The same way you want to have a local doctor, dentist, attorney. Somebody you can access quickly in person if you need it. And that's what you get with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. Two locations in the Memphis area. You can reach them. 901-867-SAVE. 901-867-7283. It's Elizabeth Rook Insurance on the web. RookInsurance.com. Jeff Calkins is going to join me in the next segment. We'll get back to the Grizzlies then. But right now, it's a big night in college basketball last night. Let's focus on that. There's four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 444. Story number one.
Well, before we look back at last night, which was a busy Tuesday night in college basketball, let's look ahead to tonight. Tigers are down at UCF. Tip-off coming up 6 o'clock. You can watch it on ESPN+. And even though KenPom projected UCF to win the game, 77-76, Memphis opened as a 2-point favorite. It's now down to 1.5, but the Tigers are actually a 1.5-point favorite in this game. They enter with a 9-5 record. Obviously had some bumps early, but they have won 3 straight games heading into this one. They are 3-1 in the AAC, and this is a Central Florida team that's got a couple of interesting wins. One at Miami, and that's a Miami team that just beat Duke. And they beat Michigan last month down in Orlando. but it's unclear at this point how good Michigan is. Computer number is still strong. But they also are on a two-game losing streak. Just lost at SMU by double digits, and then lost a home game to a Temple team that's ranked 129th in the country. So it's a quad one opportunity, and that means if Memphis wins it, they're up to four quad one wins. This might sound crazy to people who don't follow it closely. Guess how many teams in the country, Big Bet Bennett, have more than four quad one wins?
I'll say five.
Zero. The number zero. Literally nobody has more than four quadrant one wins right now. Not Auburn, not Baylor, not Gonzaga, not anybody. So if Memphis were to win tonight, by the way, Kentucky got one. All right? So if Memphis has three. So if Memphis were to win tonight, they would be tied for the lead, depending on what happens elsewhere tonight. But they would have four quadrant one wins, which as of this moment, I'll just keep it simple, is as many as anybody else in the country. If you win it, great. If you lose it, and nobody wants to lose, especially to a UCF team that just lost to Temple. But if you lose it, it's not that devastating. You know, it's just a missed opportunity. The games you don't want to lose going forward are the ones that would be devastating. The East Carolina games, the Tulsa game, the Tulane game, the South Florida game. You got to stay away from those quad three losses, quad four losses. But tonight, it's just a good opportunity. That's the way it should be viewed. Obviously, you want to win it. You've got the better team. You've got the better talent. And it's a quad one opportunity. But if you lose it, it's just a loss in the first quadrant and not the most devastating thing in the world. Again, tip-off schedule for 6 o'clock. You'll be able to watch it on ESPN+.
Story number two.
I mentioned last night was a busy night in college basketball. It was a little wild as well. This time yesterday, we had two undefeated teams left in Division I men's basketball. One of them was the reigning national champ, top-ranked Baylor Bears, and the other one was Boogie Ellis's USC Trojans. Fast forward to now, we have zero undefeated teams left in Division I men's college basketball. That's because yesterday afternoon, USC lost at Stanford 75-69. And then last night, Baylor lost a home game to Texas Tech 65-62. And the truth is, I don't know what it really says about Baylor. You know, Baylor's still fine, 7-1 in the first quadrant, still ranked number one in the net, still ranked number one at KenPom. You know, they're 15-1, 7-1 in the first two quadrants. Baylor's fine. That was just a nice win for Texas Tech. Shorthanded Texas Tech, missing one of its best players. They go to Waco and win after beating Kansas this past weekend. So they're now 3-3 in the first quadrant, with victories over Baylor, Kansas, Tennessee, and all three losses are to teams that are currently ranked in the AP poll. Mark Adams, the first-year coach, replacing Chris Beard in Lubbock, is doing a really nice job so far. I think last night says more about Texas Tech than it says about Baylor. The USC loss, I do believe, is a little more troubling because Stanford is not good. And if you start looking at USC's record, you know, they were 13-0 this time yesterday. Now they're 13-1. And like I've said many times, when I assumed you were going to be good, and I did with USC, you know, I had them as a preseason top 25, 30, you know, somewhere in that range team. When I assume you're going to be good and then you are perfect, you know, into January, well, then I'll rank you accordingly. And USC won its first 13 games of the season, and they kept creeping up. I never had them as high as the AP poll had them, but I did have them this time yesterday ranked 6th in the country. Now they've taken a loss. They're 13-1 with a loss to a Stanford team that, you know, might end up making a coaching change at the end of this year. Stanford's 9-4. They've lost to Santa Clara, lost to a Colorado team that's not very good. They're 78th at KenPom. That's a bad loss. So then you start to reevaluate because 13-0 USC looks a lot different than 13-1 USC, because now they've got a bad loss on their resume. And you start to look at the win column, and they've got some good stuff in there. Kind of good stuff. Beat San Diego State on a neutral, won at Washington State. But zero wins over top 30 KenPom teams, just two quadrant one wins. In other words, Memphis right now has more quadrant one wins than USC has right now. And so I dropped them down to, I believe, 13th in the top 25-1, and I could have dropped them even more significantly because, you know, before they lost this game yesterday on Inside College Basketball, you know, we were doing a panel and we were asked by Adam Zucker, like, is it clear to you USC's the best team in the Pac-12? And I said, not only is it not clear to me, it's clear to me that they're probably not. I'll still stick with UCLA, maybe Arizona. And I pointed out that USC was undefeated, but hadn't really, you know, gotten a big signature win like so many of these other schools ranked in the top 10 had. And then they lose at Stanford. I think they'll still be fine. Like, if you told me right now, will USC still be a top 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, yes or no? I'd say, yeah, I think they'll be a top 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. But their AP poll ranking was probably a little inflated based on the fact that they had a zero in the loss column this time yesterday. But if you really focused on that win column, there just wasn't much there.
Story number 3.
So Baylor losing and removing itself from the list of undefeated teams opened the door for Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers to move to number 1 in the top 25 and 1. All they had to do was go beat Alabama at Alabama. Now, BP's Tigers were underdogs, you know, at tip-off, just slightly, but still. But they go down there and lead 40-35 at the break and end up winning the game 81-77, despite the fact that Walker Kessler, one of their All-American candidates, former five-star big, originally played at North Carolina, then transferred to Auburn this past offseason. He only played 12 minutes because of foul trouble. Now, he got 2 fouls in the first 3 minutes of the game, and BP didn't auto-bench him. Like, he took him out for a minute, but he brought Walker Kessler back into the game in the first half, but still he was only able to play 12 minutes in the game before he fouled out. But he did foul out. So, you know, this isn't one of those situations where the coach limited the amount of minutes the player could play. Walker Kessler actually fouled out. And if you would have told me before tip-off, hey, I don't want to tell you anything else about this game, but Walker Kessler's only going to play 12 minutes and he's going to foul out, I'd say, well, the Auburn's going to have a hard time winning that game on the road. But Auburn still won that game on the road despite Kessler being so limited. And the biggest reason, obviously, Jabari Smith, 25 points and 7 rebounds. He was 8 of 14 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3. He's a 6'10 forward who isn't Kevin Durant, but he plays a lot like Kevin Durant. He's long, he can bounce it, he can comfortably shoot it. Just a really great prospect. I've been on the Paolo Banchero will be the number 1 pick of the 2022 NBA draft forever, like for years now. And I'm not moving off of it yet. And I will not move off of it for Chet Holmgren. But Jabari Smith's a different deal. He at least should make everybody think about it. And there's a lot of people I respect who now believe Jabari Smith is going to be the number 1 pick in the 2022 NBA draft. As for these purposes, he's a college basketball player at this moment, and he's a college basketball player for an Auburn team that's now 4-1 in the first quadrant, 9-1 in the first 2 quadrants. Nobody has a better record in the entire country in the first 2 quadrants than the Auburn Tigers. Nobody is better in the first quadrant than the Auburn Tigers, and Auburn is the only team in the country that hasn't lost a game in regulation this season. Their lone loss came 7 weeks ago. It was a double overtime loss on a neutral court to Connecticut. My point is this. Auburn should be the number 1 team in the country right now. I moved them there in the top 25 and 1, and now it'll be interesting to see what the AP voters do on Monday. Between now and then, Auburn has a game at Ole Miss. That's Saturday. And if they lose it, forget about it. Auburn should not be number 1 in the country on Monday with a loss at Ole Miss. But if they win that game, and they'll be favored to win the game, they should leapfrog Gonzaga and UCLA in the AP poll. The truth is they should already be ahead of Gonzaga and UCLA in the AP poll, but as I've documented for years, AP voters aren't always so great at the job they've been asked to do. But there is no argument if Auburn wins at Ole Miss this weekend to improve to 16-1, there is no argument that Gonzaga or UCLA has a better resume than Bruce Pearl's team. And so if AP voters are smart, they'll do something that they don't normally do. They'll jump Auburn right over UCLA and right over Gonzaga and make them the number 1 team in the country. And if it happens, it'll be a historic deal for that basketball program, because I don't know if you know this, Auburn's never been ranked number 1 in the AP poll in men's basketball. Never.
Wow.
They got the number 2 back when they had Chris Porter, who was a fabulous college basketball player. but they've never been ranked number one. Not when Charles Barkley was there, not when Chris Porter was there, not when they had a Final Four team a few years ago. They've never been ranked number one in the country. But again, if AP voters know what they're doing and they pay attention to the data, if Auburn is able to win at Ole Miss this weekend, Auburn should move to number one in the AP poll come Monday afternoon.
Story number four.
One last thing on college basketball. Kentucky was in Nashville last night playing Vanderbilt. They won the game 78-66, whatever. The story was Oscar Tshiebwe, the transfer from West Virginia. He was a monster once again. 11 of 16 from the field, 30 points, 13 rebounds, and he became the first Kentucky player to have a 30-point, 10-rebound game since Tayshaun Prince had one back in 2001. Think about this for a second. All the players who have come through Kentucky. In other words, every player of the John Calipari era. John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, you name it. Nobody until last night in that uniform had had a 30-10 game since Tayshaun Prince in 2001. Tayshaun Prince had a 30-10 game while at Kentucky, then went and played an entire NBA career, won a championship, has helped build a championship contender at the NBA level in Memphis, and still there was no other Kentucky player who could do what he did once upon a time. And then here comes Oscar Tshiebwe. He does it last night, and he is having an incredible season. You know, he was really good as a freshman at West Virginia, and then I think they just got squashed at West Virginia. Like, they had two – they were trying to play two bigs at the same time, and it didn't really work. He transferred last season after 10 games, enrolled at Kentucky, became eligible at the beginning of this season, and he is right now averaging 17 points and 15.1 rebounds per game. He's averaging 17 and 15 in 29.2 minutes per game. If I were voting for National Player of the Year right now, I would vote for Johnny Davis at Wisconsin. But Oscar Tshiebwe would get some other people's votes, and he might ultimately be the leading vote getter. Undeniably, he would be a first team All-American at this point. And if Kentucky is going to try to compete at the top of the SEC, maybe go back to a Final Four, maybe compete for a national championship, it's pretty clear the biggest reason why is going to be, you know, Oscar Tshiebwe. He doesn't necessarily project as a, you know, lottery pick like so many Kentucky bigs before him. Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Carl Anthony Towns. But you could reasonably argue he's a better, or at least as good, of a college basketball player as any Kentucky big who's come through that campus since John Calipari took over. He has been fabulous this season, and he was fabulous last night, a historically great night in Nashville against Vanderbilt. Jeff Calkins up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.